T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night right here, Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. As always, the number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we're going to do two big things tonight, okay? And we're going to change it up just a little bit within the manner in which we do these two things. Of course, we're going to continue talking about Robert Kraft and just this embarrassing situation that he's found himself in. And we're going to continue our Kyrie Irving discussion, because this is going to, whatever happens here with Kyrie Irving, has the potential to mold and change the Boston Celtics for the foreseeable future. So neither one of these stories is something that should be taken lightly, and neither one of these stories is something that is going to go away quickly. The Robert Kraft story is something that we will continue to be a part of our daily sort of talking points here for at least the next 6 months. I mean, it's not going anywhere. And let's face it, the Kyrie Irving story, even if he leaves the Celtics come July 1st, the first time that the Knicks come to Boston, you know, it's going to be a story. It's going to be a story for the foreseeable future, depending on how this whole thing shakes out with the Boston Celtics. So tonight, I'm going to ask a favor of everybody out there within my listening audience. We're going to do things a little bit different. I want you guys to put your thinking caps on. I am not, you know, the guru here. I don't know the future. I wish I did. I would be a very, very rich man if I could predict the future. We all know that Robert Kraft legally, he's not in all that much trouble legally, unless, of course, they find evidence at some point sort of attaching him to the human trafficking side of things. And I don't think that's the case, despite what the headline writers made you guys believe a couple of days ago when the story broke. I really do believe he was just an old guy looking for some company and looking to relax himself ahead of the AFC Championship game. It doesn't make it right, but it does make it the misdemeanor that he's being charged with. But that's really the least of his problems. There's two sets of punishments that will come down in regards to Robert Kraft. He is going to face his legal punishment, whatever that may be, most likely some sort of a fine, community service, something of the sort. And whether he even ever has to appear in court, that's still up for debate. As far as we know, his first court appearance come April, he won't even have to be there. So this being a misdemeanor charge, this being his first offense, he's not facing a mountain of legal issues when it comes to, you know, the actual legal system. Now, what the NFL does is a completely different story. As we learned here in New England, better than anywhere, the NFL and Roger Goodell specifically, he's got the power to do whatever the hell he wants. I mean, at the end of the day, he is the most powerful person in this conversation. So whatever Robert Kraft gets hit with legally, that's going to be nothing compared to the potential ramifications that he gets hit with by Roger Goodell in the NFL. Still, I'm not going to speculate here. We've speculated enough over the weekend. Friday night, we speculated. We speculated again yesterday here together. And it's been a lot of speculation up and down the dial, both stations, for a lot of days now. It's not worth doing. What I want to ask you guys is this. What can Robert Kraft do as the president and owner of the New England Patriots? What can he do as the philanthropist that we've all come to know and love here in New England? What can Robert Kraft do as the human being? What can he do to clear his name, or to at least put his name in a better set of lights? Because he was one of the most well-respected men around here. And let's face it, he's 77 years old. He doesn't have 20 years, most likely, to correct this or for people to forget about this incident. He's got to sort of change the narrative here relatively quickly. The last thing that Robert Kraft and or his family want is for this older gentleman who's already at the average life expectancy of the average male here in the United States, right? The last thing that they want is for him to die in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and for this to be his legacy. I mean, his legacy before this incident, he was going to go down as a legit hero here in New England, as a wonderful human being. He was going to be remembered as the guy that saved the New England Patriots, as a very generous philanthropist, somebody who donated tremendous amounts of money and time to the greater good. He was going to be remembered as a loving, doting husband to Myra. I mean, there was a million things that we would remember him for. And now this, unfortunately, is going to steal all those headlines away. So what can Robert Kraft do while he is still young enough, while he's still viable, and while he is still 100% coherent and with it? Because I learned better than anybody in the last 6 months that you can wake up one day and your father at 70 years old can be playing football with your 8-year-old son, and 6 months later he's gone like that. So what can Robert Kraft do? What can he do, Patriots fans? What can he do, NFL fans? What can he do for people that don't care about the Patriots and the NFL? People that just live in the United States, people that live here in New England. Is there an action that he can take where you'll say, you know what? I can live with his decision. You know what? He turned something bad into something positive. You know, he turned his situation around and he made things better for the greater good. So that's the first question I have for you guys today, because ultimately the PR war is the only war that's going to matter here. The legal troubles will go away. And whatever the NFL hits him with and hits this team with eventually will go away. I mean, the NFL, we know that they opened up the book. I mean, they really, really stretched the punishment for Deflategate with the intention of crippling the New England Patriots, and it backfired horrendously. Horrendously, when you look at what the Patriots have accomplished since the NFL really came down all too hard for a simple equipment violation. And we've seen, by the way, that equipment violation, we've seen other teams, it's happened to other teams since Deflategate happened. It happened to the Steelers last year. And it's a simple equipment violation. We heard Aaron Rodgers on national TV tell everybody within an earshot that he prefers his balls overinflated. Nothing happened. A simple equipment violation. We know the NFL took advantage of the situation. They tried to cripple the Patriots for a litany of reasons, and it failed. So the NFL may very well come down very hard on the Patriots again in another attempt to cripple this team. I don't think it'll happen. And even if they do try to do it, the Patriots, we know one thing about them. They're generally a step ahead. So the legal troubles that Robert Kraft faces, I believe he'll get past those relatively quickly. And whatever issues the league tries to sort of throw down at the Patriots, whatever the punishment is that the league tries to hand down to the Patriots organization, Robert Kraft himself, they'll get over that as well. It is the PR war that Robert Kraft is just beginning to fight. And ultimately, it is the PR war that Robert Kraft will need to win. So if you guys are out there and you're a Patriots fan, you're an NFL fan, or you're just a member of our community that is ashamed, that is embarrassed, and that is horrified by what Robert Kraft did, because I've heard from a bunch of you guys on Twitter. And you know what? The one common denominator, the one word that I continue to hear from fans, from people that aren't fans, from people that are men, women, young, and old, is the word disappointment. And the last thing that Robert Kraft wants to be to anybody around here is a disappointment. He enjoys being the hero. So what can Robert Kraft do with his money, with his celebrity, with his power, with his influence to turn the narrative around and go from being the disappointment in this scenario, the disappointment in this story, to once again being considered a hero in the eyes of the people, at least of New England, if not in the eyes of the people of this country? So it is Sports Radio WEEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Opening the show tonight, talking about two things. Robert Kraft, I'm asking you guys to play PR guru. What can he do? What can the Patriots do? What can the Kraft family do to turn this narrative around? I'm not going to sit here and speculate on what the NFL is going to do. I have no idea. I mean, I told you what I think before. I think the NFL is going to come down very hard. I really do. In another attempt to cripple the Patriots. And legally, we know that he's not in all that much legal trouble. That's really the least of his concerns right now. The other big thing I want to get to tonight is the Kyrie Irving situation. And we'll sort of do these two things hand in hand. I'm not going to go an hour here, an hour there. They're both on the table for the entirety of the 4 hours tonight, because both topics deserve our attention. So when it comes to Kyrie, whether this season is a lost season or not, it is really still up for debate, and it's really the least of the Celtics' problems. The Celtics have major, major, major decisions to make, and Kyrie Irving is at the center of them all. Right? So if Kyrie, let's assume that this season continues the way that it's gone, up and down. They may rattle off another six consecutive wins, then lose three consecutive games in disappointing fashion. And whether this team turns it around in the playoffs or not is almost irrelevant to this conversation. If you believe the stories that came out around the trade deadline, then you know that the ultimate plan here is for Danny Ainge to flip the Celtics' young assets, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, you name the young asset, the four first-round picks that the Celtics have upcoming here, you name the young asset, Robert Williams, maybe adding in a contract, whether it's a guy like an Al Horford or a Gordon Hayward, in an effort to flip that guy for Anthony Davis, to flip that guy in a sign-and-trade for Kevin Durant, whatever it may be. So let's make the assumption that this broken group of Celtics this year ultimately doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things because Danny's larger plan is in play. And that larger plan is to pair Kyrie Irving with a legit superstar, be it Anthony Davis, be it Kevin Durant, or somebody else of that ilk. If the Celtics are able to successfully pull that off, is Brad Stevens the right coach? That's the question there. Is Brad Stevens capable of leading this Celtics team to the NBA Finals and eventually their 18th World Championship? From what we've seen from Brad Stevens this year, and so far with his inability to properly handle legit stars in the NBA, how confident are we in Brad Stevens' ability to take the Celtics with, let's say, another superstar who is at the same level of a Kyrie Irving and now deal with two people, two stars with huge egos, huge personalities, and handle them effectively? Because one of the most disappointing things that I've seen about the Celtics this year is Brad Stevens and his inability to properly manage minutes for these guys and properly manage expectations and properly manage the locker room. And that to me is so surprising because when you look at what Brad's been through his first 4 years here, he has been nothing short of brilliant. And if Brad winds up losing his job here, I don't think he will. But if he winds up losing his job, he will be the most he'll be the hottest commodity in the NBA marketplace because there's half the league right now is full of young teams looking to maximize their limited talent they have on the roster. And nobody has done that better than Brad Stevens. He has maximized every bit of basketball ability from each and every one of these Boston Celtics through his first 4 years here. This is the first year in Brad's 5 years here where he really has been a disappointment. The team has been a disappointment. And ultimately, whether you believe it or not, and whether you believe in this theory or not, Glenn Ordway taught me something, guys. You know, Glenn is twice my age. I grew up listening to the guy. I grew up listening to him as the Big O doing the Big Show, and I grew up even before that listening to him alongside Jerry Seesting calling the games on the radio. As a young, fat Gilroy, you know, my parents put me to bed, had the radio underneath my pillow, and that's how I listened to the Boston Celtics. And Glenn taught me one thing. He told me that the NBA is a talent-driven league. And in this league especially, you can have the best coach in the world, but ultimately the talent wins out. The talent is more important than the coach. So if you are a Celtics fan, who are you more comfortable building your team around? Is it a guy like Kyrie Irving and potentially pairing him with an Anthony Davis, a Kevin Durant? Let's just assume two superstars at the helm next year. Or are you more comfortable building around Jason Tatum, young guy, Jaylen Brown, young guy, Robert Williams, young guy, Semi Ojeleye, young guy, and at that point holding on to Brad Stevens and continuing to grow this thing slowly and really, you know, grow it organically, but with Brad Stevens at the center of it all? Two things tonight. Celtics, how do you grow this thing? And ultimately, who's more important to the future of this basketball team? Is it Kyrie Irving paired with another legit superstar? Or is it Brad Stevens continuing to cultivate the young talent on this roster? And of course, we're going to talk about Robert Kraft. And what can Robert Kraft do to better sort of to put his name in a better light here in New England? What can he do to reverse this narrative and to be looked at, to be viewed as the Robert Kraft that we all looked at him as before this incident happened on Friday? Talking about those things with you guys tonight. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is WEI Late Night. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You are locked into Late Night with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night, right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you, as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Really doing two big things tonight, talking about Robert Kraft, but not the usual conversation that we've had for the last 72 hours about Robert Kraft. I don't really care. The whole legal thing is going to happen, and it's not going to be much more than a slap on the wrist. He's a first-time offender, and it's a misdemeanor. So whatever happens legally, it's going to be embarrassing for him, but ultimately it's not going to impact him. What may impact him is whatever the league decides to hand down as punishment, but ultimately here, that is up to the god of the NFL, because we learned this during Deflategate. The powers that belong to Roger Goodell were reinforced tenfold during Deflategate. He really does have the ultimate power to do whatever he wants in a disciplinary situation. So if he decides to suspend Robert Kraft for a season, he can do it. If he decides to give him a slap on the wrist and suspend him for two games and hit him with a small fine, he can do that. But those punishments legally and within the course of the NFL, they're going to happen, and there's very little that Robert Kraft can do about them. What he has some control over is the PR narrative here. But is there a PR move that he can make, in your opinion, people of New England? Is there something that he can do to save face? Is there something that he can do to change the damage that has been done to this man's legacy at 77 years old? Let's face it, I don't want to be morbid here. But more than likely, he doesn't have another 20 or 30 years left to sort of change the narrative and give people time to forget about what happened. So is there something that he can do in the short term to change the narrative here and really improve upon what may have destroyed this guy's once great legacy? So we're talking about that with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Also, the Kyrie Irving stuff, and really forgetting about this season, whether the Celtics turn it on in the playoffs or they don't. We know that Danny Ainge has got a long-term plan here, and that long-term plan is to cash in the assets, cash in the chips this offseason. That was his big secret that was exposed with everything that happened with the Lakers and the Pelicans and Anthony Davis. And ultimately, Danny Ainge convinced the Pelicans not to pull the trigger on the deal for Anthony Davis with the Lakers that was on the table, because he offered up everybody, including Jason Tatum. So we know the long-term goal here for Danny Ainge is to flip the assets for Anthony Davis. Maybe it's a smokescreen, and maybe it's a sign and trade for Kevin Durant. But either way, the goal here is to start next season with Kyrie Irving having signed an extension paired alongside another legit stud, be it Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. But from what we've seen this year with Brad Stevens, despite all the success and all the accolades that he's collected here his first 4 years here, has what we've seen this year from Brad convinced us that maybe he's not the right guy to lead a team that is full of veteran superstar talent? Is he the right coach to ultimately lead this Celtics team to banner 18? So we're talking about that with you guys as well at 617-779-7937. Let's get out to these calls. Let's go to David. David's in Florida. David, you're first up here on Late Night.
Patrick.
David.
Good evening. I didn't realize you were a local. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Peabody, Massachusetts.
Peabody, oh, North Shore.
Yep, yep.
All right.
What about you, Dave? You says you're from Florida.
Natick,
beautiful.
Down here.
Beautiful.
Natick boy, fruity country. Oh, yeah.
I got you.
You know, I mean, Kraft, PR, I mean, if the best thing he could do, if it's true, is just come out and admit it. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, he's had he made a mistake. I mean, it means he's human. He's not a god. I mean, he's, you know, it's like you said, it's a slap on the wrist legally, and maybe he just might step down if this is, and hand things over to Jonathan. I mean, you know, I mean, it's, he's not gonna, his career is already 90% over with. I mean, he's done an awful lot for the league, for the culture, for the community, for Israel, for the people of New England. So he made a little mistake. He lost his wife. But it's not that big a deal, really. I mean, like you said, no, obviously, if it goes further to the trafficking thing, then it's a whole nother ball game. But, that's just highly unlikely.
Yeah, I don't see how he can be held accountable for the trafficking portion of it unless he's funding the whole operation. You know what I mean? Like, it's not up to the customer, I think, to know what they're getting into. They know that they're breaking the law, right? But they don't know that they are breaking the law to the extent where maybe they're helping human trafficking because the demand is there because the customers are there. I don't think that's Robert Kraft's problem.
I'm also trying to, though. You said during the break, like 20 minutes ago, his car got pulled over, or his vehicle.
This is the one problem that I have. Okay, so he went on day one and he left, and they pulled him over because it was a sting operation. They've been monitoring this place for 8 months. Yeah. They pulled him over. They gave him a slap on the wrist. They let him go. They didn't arrest him. They let him go, and he showed up again the next morning. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, what I'm just trying to figure out is, I guess they did have proof, forensic proof or evidentiary proof that he was there. But, I mean, if it happened on the AFC Championship game, he was at the game in Kansas City. So, I guess it must have been early in the morning, and then he takes a 3-hour flight from West Palm Beach, which is like 20 minutes from where I am. I mean, I know exactly where this incident occurred because I live 20 minutes from it. So I know exactly where it is. Yeah, there's an Outback there. It's a little strip mall right in the corner of US 1 and Indian Town Road, which is the main road.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, because I spend a lot of time in Florida, like a lot. I'm there every 3 weeks for work, and I crisscross the state. So I'm all the way down to the Keys, and I'm up to Jacksonville. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a lot. I'm not saying that they're prostitution, but there's a lot of Asian spas in a lot of these strip malls. I mean, up and down the state, right?
Yes, there is. It's frightening. But, I mean, there's plenty of them, and it's a big issue. It's a big issue down here in South Florida. I mean, with recovery and drug addiction and prostitution, it's a big issue down here, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? Florida, you know, they screwed up with the whole pill mill thing, but they corrected that, and I'm sure that they'll correct this as well.
Yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, if he did it, then this, you know, I mean, he just needs to come out, and he just needs to hold a press conference and just tell the truth. You know, this is a very forgiving society.
It is.
And the guy's 77 years old. I think the good he has done has far outweighed the mistakes he's made. So, you know, just come out and just hold a press conference and then make a large donation to but make it be sincere. That's all he needs to do.
Well, sincerity is the key. That's it, David. Listen, I appreciate the phone call, and you know, you're right. Sincerity is the key, and apology is the key, but I think it's going to go much further than that. One of the things that I've sort of learned doing my research for doing my program, so, you know, we did 4 hours on Friday, we did 4 hours Sunday, we are doing 4 hours again tonight. The only night off I've got is tomorrow night because I'm in Pennsylvania, but I'm back again Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I'm sure that Robert Kraft is going to be one of the main topics of conversation for the remainder of the week. So I've done a tremendous amount of reading, both on the recreational side of things, which was what Robert Kraft was trying to take advantage of, and the human trafficking side of things. And the human trafficking side of things is, it's flippin' scary. There's no getting around just how terrifying it is. And I think the best thing that Robert Kraft can do, in my opinion, is educate himself on what goes into the human trafficking side of things, just how horrific the lives are for these women and what they've been through. And one of the issues that they have is once they've been brought to the United States and they owe this debt to the people that brought them there, they have no way out because they have no money of their own. They're brought here sort of illegally. And even the girls that do have their passports, they're held by the people that brought them here. So it's not like they've even got their passport in their purse to go somewhere. So they don't have money. They don't have a means to prove who they are legally. And they don't have access to legal aid. So maybe something that Robert Kraft could do is set up some sort of a legal aid fund or something to give these girls that are being trafficked options. Because right now, they're stuck in these horrific hellholes of a situation because they don't have any options. They are beholden to the people that brought them here. and the people that brought them here knew it. And that's half the battle for those people. They essentially enslave them. And the only way that they're going to sleep, the only way they're going to eat, the only way that they're going to wake up and live day in and day out is by servicing 100 dudes a day. And that's no way to live. But I've got a major problem, David, and anybody else that's in Florida. I've got a major problem with your police force, a huge problem with your police force. I won't get into it right now, but I will get into it in a little while. Your police force is a bit of a joke. And the state's attorney's office is a bit of a joke, because the fact is, you could have shut this thing down a long time ago, but you didn't. And I've got some theories as to why that we'll get to coming up in a little while. Until then, I want to stick with your phone calls. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny's in Waltham. Kenny, you're next up here on WEI.
Thank you, Patrick. How are you, man?
Good, Kenny. What's on your mind, brother?
Good, man. Hey, every time I get out of Roof Chris at night working, dude, I always hope you're on the radio, so it's always cool to hear you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, not for nothing, but Roof Chris is flipping phenomenal. It's like my favorite place to go. So what do you do there? You cook there? You chef? What do you do?
No, I'm on a front.
Awesome. I'm going to have to come find you next time I'm there. The place is incredible.
Oh, that'd be such a sweet treat, man. Awesome. Yeah, I'd be happy to have you. VIP treatment all the way, dog.
Love that. Love that. What's on your mind, man?
So listen, you know, when this first came, the reason I called is because when this first came out and I was listening to WEI, you know, and I can't really blame anyone, but everyone was just going to bat saying, hey, how could this be possible? Robert Kraft, billionaire, blibbity-blobbity, 59 and a half hour, 89 an hour, you know, like, why would he get involved with this? And then 3 days later, like, literally 3 days later, here we are just, like, backpedaling and saying, well, I guess I was wrong. So, you know, you really just, I know it's kind of a cliche, but you just really never know anyone. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'll speak quickly. But my mom remarried. She was with this gentleman for 8 years. And I'm a great judge of character. Mind you, I've been bartending and serving for a long time. So I'm really good at reading people. And for 8 years, anytime anybody asked me, how's your mom doing? How's everything going? Great, 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 great. Well, she came up here for the summer when they were living down in Florida. She went back home, found some inappropriate text messages. And I hate to be vague, but I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
The next day, the guy blew his head off. Okay? So here I am thinking, you know, everything's going cool in the gang, and this guy goes and does this. So, I mean, you really just can't put anything past anyone these days, and it's such a terrible, like, thought to, like, dwell on. But, I mean, if we think about it, and on such a small scale, like what happened with Robert Kraft, I mean, you know, it's just crazy to think about what's going on in our society these days. It's like people think they can do whatever they want. And you ask the question, and I think it's an easy question to answer. He's got a billion ways he can fix this. He's a multi-billionaire. When you have that kind of bankroll, you have the influence to do so many positive things. He can just, there's a number of ways he can do it. And starting a fund for, you know, this condition that's going on, or the situation that seems to be out of control with the slavery of enslaving of people. I mean, you start right there, man.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you there. I think that's option A for him. He's got to do something. What I found interesting, Kenny, is that, you know, on one hand, you've got the cops, you've got the police, you've got the state attorney's office all saying that they've got Robert Kraft on tape, and not just on tape, but on tape sort of doing the deed or whatever, you know, the act, I believe is how they put it. And on the other hand, you got Robert Kraft coming out through his people and vehemently denying any wrongdoing here. So one of these major sides is lying here. And so if it's Robert Kraft that's lying, he's already off to the wrong start here when it comes to saving face. You know, I think a little bit of honesty goes a long way in this situation.
Yeah, just come out and own it. I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, you just come out and own it, and things will progress better for you. You will fare much better if you just come out and own it. But no one of his caliber in the past, I don't know, half a century has ever come out and at the first point when they've gotten caught and been like, I was wrong. I mean, we can, like, go back to Bill Clinton. I mean, come on.
You're right, Kenny.
That's the first example that came to my head.
You're right. Listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I'm going to check in with you at Ruth Chris sometime, and you're going to have to hook me up because, look, we don't make a ton of money doing radio, but you make a phenomenal, phenomenal stake there. Look, it is sports radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. And yeah, so the one big difference, though, Kenny, when you talk about a Bill Clinton or somebody else that got involved in a sex scandal is this. They've all had the motivation to lie because they've got a wife by their side. You know, I don't know if you're married, Kenny, or people that are married out there, but you know, that's a huge motivating factor. You don't want to ruin everything that you've built. And a marriage is twofold. Yes, a marriage is built on a foundation of love and respect between two people. But it's also very much a business arrangement, a business agreement between two people. And whatever your business is, however your business is run, whether there's a primary earner in the house where somebody takes on the responsibility of running the household, raising the children, and by all means, that is a job that is tireless, so I'm not knocking that job. And the other person brings home the cash, or it's more of a split between the two. You know, it is a business deal, a business arrangement, and infidelity can really ruin that. It can destroy it. And even if somebody stays together after a cheating accusation, their marriage, the foundation, is usually never quite the same again. Robert Kraft didn't have to deal with that portion of it. I mean, tragically, his wife died a few years back. He has since moved on. He had a hot girlfriend half his age a couple of years back. Remember, she showed up to a bunch of the playoff games. She was around Foxborough. We haven't seen her lately. We've seen Robert Kraft out there dancing with people that are half his age. We've seen Robert Kraft out there, you know, rocking his tux in his Air Force Ones, living his best life. But I'm not going to judge him for, you know, whether he wants to hook up or not. That's on him. But he's got to make better choices in the manner in which he decides to hook up. He's too public of a figure. And what bothers me the most about this story is that it sounds like, and the prosecutors haven't called it a warning yet, but it sounds like he may have had the benefit of some sort of preferential treatment because he got pulled over the first time and they took his ID. They sort of proved who he was and they let him go. They didn't arrest him. They didn't issue him a summons. They let him go. And it wasn't until he came back the next day. So if you're out there driving around right now and a cop pulls you over and let's say that your insurance ran out, okay? It's happened to a bunch of people, happened to me when I was younger, you forgot to pay the bill, whatever, the insurance runs out. The cop should pull you over, he should impound your car, tow your car, cost you way too much money, and you know, it becomes an entire you-know-what storm. But 9 times out of 10, if you're respectful to the cop and you're you don't have a huge record, the cop's going to let you go. He's going to let you drive home. And he's going to say, don't let me see you without insurance again. And guess what? If you live in a small town like I do, and you pull up to a red light the next day, and the cop runs your plate, and your insurance is not up to date at that point, not only is he impounding your car, he's arresting you. Your punishment is now twice as bad because you made him look like a fool. You made him look like an idiot. He gave you the benefit of the doubt. He gave you a break. And then you went behind his back and you didn't do what he said. And to me, there's an element of that with this, too, because you know, the reports today say that Robert Kraft, they pulled over the vehicle that he was in. He had to show his ID. The cops at that point knew who he was. He doesn't have a record. Sounds like they let him drive away. They didn't arrest him at that point. They didn't want to issue him a summons at that point. He had the potential ability to skate away from this without us ever finding out. He doesn't even wait a couple of days. He shows up again the next morning. Meanwhile, the same cops are there staking the place out because it's part of a larger investigation. So at that point, Robert Kraft has got only one person to blame for the situation, and that's himself. But this conversation isn't so much about blame. This conversation isn't about the disciplinary action that's going to come down from the police and the prosecutor and the NFL. This conversation is about the actions that Robert Kraft can take starting right now, starting tonight, starting tomorrow, that can begin to repair his reputation and his legacy. Because I hate to be morbid once again, but Robert Kraft doesn't have the benefit of the next 20, 30, 40 years for people to forget about these couple of incidents. These may be the last major impactful things, you know, that go down in Robert Kraft's legacy. When you're reading about Robert Kraft someday 20 years from now, what if it ends with wins his sixth Super Bowl, and then these two incidents happen. These two prostitution charges happen, and the Patriots peter out, their dynasty ends, and, you know, this is it. So he can't depend on the fact that he's got 10, 20, 30, 40 years left for people to forget about this. He's got to start proactively repairing the damage and fixing his legacy tonight, tomorrow. But I don't know exactly how to do that. And I don't know if you guys have any ideas, but that's what we're going for tonight. I want you guys playing PR firm tonight. You know, if you were advising Robert Kraft, what are the actions, immediate actions that you would take to begin to repair the damage that Robert Kraft has done to his legacy? It is Sports Radio, WEEI. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why the cops are idiots and why the cops, I think, in this situation, they really, really don't look good. They screwed up, and I think ultimately, legally, their screw-up may serve to help Robert Kraft. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here, Sports Radio WEI.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
It was clear that multiple women were working and living inside the spas. They were cooking on the back steps of the business. They were sleeping in the massage parlor on the massage tables. They had no access to transportation. They were moved from location to location. They were averaging 8 clients a day. And if you do the math, that's approximately 1,500 men a year with no days off. They were working late hours, oftentimes long after normal legitimate businesses were closed.
So one of the things that we've all got more of an education on than I thought I would ever get is about this whole human trafficking element here and what these women live like, what their lives are like, what they go through, and the reasons why they do the things that they do. And just how desperate they are, but how few options, how little options they really have. So I applaud the police and I applaud the state attorney's office in Florida for going to bat for these women. I really do. I don't know if people that have been listening throughout the first hour, we had that first caller about a half an hour ago. I believe his name was David from Florida. And I asked him because I'm in Florida about every 3 weeks. And one of the things that sort of I thought about when this story first broke was no matter where I am in Florida, it seems like in every single strip mall, there's an Asian massage parlor of some sort. There really is. They're up and down the state. They litter, they line the state. And it's very comparable to about 15 years ago when the opiate problem really blew up in this country. Florida had the most relaxed laws. So in every single strip mall, they opened up a pill mill, a pain clinic where, you know, people would literally, you know, drive from Massachusetts down to Florida every 2 weeks, pick up, you know, they'd fill the van full of 10 people. Everybody would get their prescription. They'd hit 3 or 4 different pill mills, different pain clinics. Each one would write a script for 300 pills. They'd come back up here and they'd sell them. And they created this culture and this whole new economy. Meanwhile, they were also creating a nation of junkies. Now, it takes Florida a little bit of time, but they got it right. They corrected those laws and the pill mills, for the most part, have gone away. So it was a good thing that they got exposed. And if you go to Netflix, there's a bunch of documentaries on them. One of them's called Florida Blues, and it is just an amazing documentary. I feel like a similar thing is going to happen here with all of these different Asian massage parlors because, let's face it, there's a happy ending for all in the back. All it takes is some money. That's the whole name of the game here. Nobody's going into these things, for the most part, to have a legitimate massage. And if you are, I would love to hear from you. If you guys have gone to an Asian massage parlor for a legit massage, I would love to hear from you guys tonight, because all my research, everything that I've read, says that that's what all these places are, and it's sort of understood. You know, that's why the fronts are sort of blacked out, and they've got the tinted windows or drapes there, because they don't want the general public to see what goes on behind closed doors. But here's my problem with the police and the state attorney's office. While I applaud them for finally taking some action here, I don't understand. I don't get it. If you go back to that Friday press conference, they talked about hundreds of men coming and going. This guy that we just heard the clip of said, you know, 1,500 guys a year. And that's just, you know, with this one place. Meanwhile, these places are littering the state. There's hundreds of them up and down the state from Jacksonville down to the Keys. They're everywhere. So you're talking about tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of men going in and out of these places. This particular place, this particular sting, they had the opportunity to help these women much earlier on than they decided to help them. So you mean to tell me that we're learning about these deplorable conditions that these women live in? We're learning about how horrific it is to be trafficked. We are learning about the fact that they have poor hygiene, they barely eat, they sleep in the place that they work. It's just a disgusting way to live. It's essentially slavery is what it is. You know, these people are trapped. They've got no legal options. They don't have enough money to break free. They are scared. They don't speak the language. And meanwhile, the police, they just sit on it for months, for weeks, for months, you know, waiting to make their case. Meanwhile, they know that these women are coming and going. These women are being hurt. They're being abused. They're being taken advantage of. And you decide until you wait until you have a big name, a big fish to fry here, because at that point it becomes sort of part of pop culture. And it's TMZ worthy. I have to believe that if Robert Kraft wasn't pinched, they would still be sitting out there sort of executing their sting operation, you know, marking down license plate numbers, tallying up the dudes and waiting for somebody else. The only reason that this thing came to a close when it did, the only reason why this thing made the news when it did, the only reason why it's gotten the attention that it's gotten is because Robert Kraft got mixed up in it and he is an A-list celebrity. That's it. That is the only reason. So while I applaud them for trying to do some good, I also think it's pretty underhanded and dirty of them for allowing these conditions, these women to live in these conditions, and allowing these women to be exposed to the dangerous lives that they live day in and day out until they net themselves a big fish. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, talking about Robert Kraft, also mixing in some Kyrie Irving conversation. Let's get back out to these calls. Let's go to Jack, Jackson, Quincy. Jack, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, Patrick. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Jack. What's on your mind, man?
Well, the last time we spoke, we got kind of an argument about baseball, but I'm not going to go that way. And first of all, it's not Brad Stevens' fault. It's Kyrie's, all the way. And going back to the conversation you're having about these the Asian massage parlors,
Jack,
and all.
Jack, hold on. We'll get there, and I won't hang up with you, but I want to go back to what you just said about Brad Stevens and Kyrie, because I agree with you when we're talking about, you know, this particular year. It's not Brad's fault. Brad's got 4 years of a successful track record here, and you know, Kyrie has undercut him at every turn. You go back to that game in Orlando about 6 weeks ago when Kyrie publicly sort of chastised Brad on the court when Brad didn't call the final play for him. Then you saw the other night against Milwaukee, the cameras really, they focused in on the huddle when the Celtics were down by one, and it's Kyrie in there calling the play, designing the play. You know, Kyrie is really running the operation here, and to me that's a bit of a problem. But regardless if it's Kyrie's problem or Brad's problem, what happens next year? Let's say that Danny executes his plan, and it's Kyrie and Anthony Davis, or Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and the young guys are gone. We've seen Brad struggle with a guy like Kyrie this year, with a Gordon Hayward, with the personalities and egos that come with legit superstars. So if you add another top 10 player to this team, at that point, is Brad Stevens still the best option to coach the Boston Celtics?
I think so.
I hope you're right.
He reminds me of Casey Jones when he took over after Bill Fitch, with all the stars he had and everything. What he needs to do is, Danny needs to do is not sign Kyrie. In the beginning of the year, I thought Kyrie was the answer, especially when he came out. I mean, he's playing the media. But he came out and said, I want to sign here. And then he says, I want my number retired. Kyrie is the problem all the way.
All right. All right.
And I think don't sign him. Don't sign Davis. Keep the young kids. Everything's going to be fine.
That is a plan that, you know, that is an option. I don't think that's Danny's first plan. Danny's done a lot here to sort of position the franchise to have this quick rebuild. But maybe you're right. Maybe the Kyrie will walk, and maybe they'll just continue to groom Tatum and Brown and let the young kids grow. But fans that are hungry for Banner 18, you know, it's going to be a few years away if that's the plan that they ultimately decide to take.
I don't think so, but that's beside me. But going back to that little conversation about, I live in Quincy, and it's a heavy Asian population. I see those white vans you're talking about picking up people, and I always wonder that myself. What are they doing? Are they going to restaurants or the massage parlors? It is a sad situation all the way around.
Yep.
No matter what.
It is. And it sucks that you know, a guy that everybody sort of looks up to and a guy that's been a legitimate hero around these parts because he saved the franchise. The franchise has never had more success. He's so well respected. He spends his money the right way for the most part. He's been so generous with his money, and Robert Kraft generally does everything right. It's so disappointing that a guy like him is, you know, but he's human, and that's exactly what this situation is. This case is, you know, we look at these guys like they're beyond humans, but he's a human. He made a mistake. I just don't know if he's ever going to be able to sort of repair his legacy to get it back to where it once was, Jack.
I think if they win one more, his legacy will be fine. But he's going to get fined, and the commissioner hates him, so God only knows what they're going to do to them. But I'm just not looking forward to Jonathan taking over the team, that's for sure.
Yeah, neither am I. I hope that that's a ways away, Jack. I really do. Listen, man, I appreciate the phone call. Great stuff here. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. If you really want to piss yourself off, you really want to anger yourself, you know, just go to Twitter and type in the search bar, Kraft Sell Team. And, you know, there's a dozen or so national publications out there, some more respected than others, people legitimately writing stories, making news stories on the internet, in print, on TV, on the radio, sort of declaring that the only right action for the NFL to take is to force Robert Kraft to sell the Patriots. And a common theme and a common thread that I'm reading here, the common denominator that they continue to reference, is Donald Sterling and what happened to Donald Sterling with the Clippers. Now, the comparison with Donald Sterling doesn't work. You know, Donald Sterling, he got busted on tape making racial slurs, and it was disgusting. The thing is, Donald Sterling had 30, 40 years of you know, allegations against him of his racism. And he was essentially openly racist over the course of 30, 40 years. He was a huge property developer in Los Angeles, and he would not allow black people to sort of live in the developments that he made, and even though they were low income, poor housing neighborhoods. I mean, he had a litany of issues, and the NBA took corrective action once they were able to prove it with those audio tapes. I don't think that Robert Kraft should be put into the same category as a disgusting human being like Donald Sterling. I don't think that Robert Kraft is a disgusting human being. Now, if it ever turned out that he was financing this operation, that he was a part of the human trafficking, you know, that he was the money behind the whole operation, and that he, maybe not on paper, but he sort of you know, under the table owned some of these massage parlors, fine. At that point, he is a disgusting man. And I hate to put it like that, but really that's what it appears to be. Because sometimes men think stupidly, right? Sometimes we think with the wrong head. And that's the only explanation that I can come up with here when you read this report today. And I know it sounds funny, but it is so serious. And it's something that's so disappointing because he's got other options. But when you read the reports where he got pulled over one day, okay, on day one, he gets pulled over after leaving the massage parlor. The police ultimately, they ID him. They let him go. He wasn't driving. He had a driver. They let him go. They didn't issue him a ticket. They didn't issue him a summons. And they did not make him promise to return to court. They didn't arrest him. It looks like they were going to let him skate. And then he shows up again the next day at 11 a.m. to do it again. And that's ultimately when they pinched him. That's just plain stupidity. And for a brilliant man, a man that made billions, with a B, billions of dollars because he's that intelligent and made the right financial moves throughout his life. For him to make a stupid, stupid, stupid mistake like that, it tells you that he was thinking with the wrong head. And, you know, you guys out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You would like to think, though, that when you're a billionaire at 77 years old, you eventually learn to control yourself and think with one brain and one brain only. I guess Robert Kraft is just like the rest of us idiots. He thought with the little brain instead of the big brain. It is Sports Radio, WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.